From the Schmoes No Network Studios in the heart of Mos Eisley, Tatooine, it's time for Jedi Alliance. And now, here's your host, the Force is strong with them, Ken Knapsack and Maude Garrett.
Hey, Schmoville.
Hey, Schmoville.
How are you? Welcome to Jedi Alliance. This is a celebration of the greatest saga ever told. If you are lost and you're looking for Star Trek, please turn to a completely different site and page, because we are all about the wars.
That's right, Star Wars. We got a lot to talk about today. Special thanks to me, Mark Ellis, giving the live intro to giving me a day off. First of all, right now, if you're on iTunes, do me a favor, resubscribe to the show if you'd already been subscribed. Big thing with iTunes, a little disturbance in the force, but we're still here. Our comments, our ratings are there, and don't forget to rate and comment if you haven't.
Otherwise, I'll find your lack of faith disturbing.
And I want to thank my co-pilot here, Maude, who came in straight from New York Comic Con just this afternoon. You pretty much landed and got right over here.
Yes, I had to get up, quarter to three in the morning to do a six-hour flight, but it's okay because I was reading this book whole flight, and we're going to go in-depth with this one very soon.
We are going to go in-depth into Star Wars A New Dawn, which is the first new canonized books coming out, a lot coming out on the Star Wars canon universe, and canon is a word that you hear over and over and over. Canon, canon, canon.
You're firing that thing like a
canon.
There it is.
And a canon. So let's bring in our guest. You folks out there, if you're fans of Schmoes No or you're part of Schmoville, you have been tweeting, emailing, texting, Facebooking, anything you can, go, hey, why is this guy not on the show?
That's exactly what they sound like.
Yeah, that's exactly. And half the time he's in the control booth. He is one of the head schmoes from the Schmoes No Movie Show and Schmoes No Movie Reviews. He also co-hosts a great Star Wars podcast that I've been on many times called Far, Far Away with our good friend Tiffany Smith. Please welcome to the show, Darth Harloff.
Wowee. It's finally happening.
Good.
Good. Christian Harloff is up, here, man. That's so right. Good to finally have you on this side of the show.
Seriously.
And now, you're not much of a Star Wars fan, so are you going to be able to keep up to speed with everything?
This is not a Star Trek show.
No. No, actually, this is a Transformer 4 breakdown and review.
I'm an expert.
Christian Harloff is a longtime friend of mine, first and foremost, beyond just my working relationship with him on the Schmoes. And one of the things that brought us together was our love and respect and enthusiasm for Star Wars.
Yeah, I actually met him in the lightsaber building class 101. Yes, we built lightsabers.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, oh, yeah.
I'm like, we're,
you're supposed to know improv.
That was 2006. I was drunk. I don't remember.
I got a blah, blah, blah.
No, I remember. I remember. The purple lightsaber was drugs.
Drugs. Yeah. So before we get into, we're going to talk about A New Dawn. We're also going to reopen the discussion on Rebels because this man here, well, he wasn't happy with some of my opinions on Rebels.
Hated some of your nitpicking. Hated it.
Rebel.
So he wants to have a rebuttal, and we're going to have a return of
Rebel
Duel of Fate. Bottle? We're also going to do some wonderful normal routines. But first, we want to find out what makes you tick as a Star Wars fan. Christian?
We have our top five Star Wars questions to throw to you. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Tell us about your first time.
First time ever. You know, it's funny because I tell myself that I remember watching A New Hope.
Right.
You're in the cinema at how old?
I think two. I tell myself that I remember that, but I don't really remember that. I do remember Empire Strikes Back and watching seeing Hoth for the first time. Mm-hmm. And I also remember the battle scene and when Luke is revealed that Darth Vader is his father. I looked at my dad. I'm like, no, he's lying, right? And I do remember being about five or six when I saw that. Or no, I was about four and a half, actually. So I do remember Empire the first time.
Wow. Is that your favorite one?
Empire?
Yeah.
Oh, hands down.
Hands down. Yeah. By far.
By far.
Hand down.
Because
no one's got two hands.
Well done. You know, it's funny, though, because the overall stories in general of Star Wars, Empire is my first favorite, but the other movies are not my second favorite story of all time. The Knights of the Old Republic story is my second favorite Star Wars story of all time.
He's one of those Knights of the Old Republic guys.
Oh, yeah.
You got to read about Darth Bane, Darth Revan, Darth Malak.
Malak!
Yeah. Yeah, that story to me, that twist. Like, I think I told somebody about this. When I was working for Alcon Entertainment at the time, and I had vacation time, but I took off sick for about a week just to play Knights of the Old Republic.
I dated a guy just to play his Xbox, Knights of the Old Republic.
See? We're lucky we didn't meet in 2006. Yeah.
Could have worked out well.
How did that get there all of a sudden?
Because we would have been playing Knights of the Republic, probably in our pajamas.
Right. There we go. Right. Why are we in our pajamas? What's your favorite character?
My favorite character in all time? I would probably...
By the way, Darth Harloff is not a canon character.
It's okay. Not. It's not. Emperor Palpatine.
Yeah, well, I already knew the answer to that. Yeah, you're a big fan of the dark side.
What draws you to the evil?
I liked what he did and the way he plotted it out, and even going back to the Darth Plagueis novel, whether that turns out to be canon or not, it's...
Can we have a ding every time Christian mentions the Darth Plagueis novel?
I'm personally responsible for selling a lot of those books, I'll tell you that. It's just from finding out how he became a Sith, whether or not that's canon, we'll find that out, but then it's just the plotting. He was the only thing that I looked forward to in the prequels, even now. If I watch the prequels, when his scenes come up, I'm still very enthused to watch.
That has to make it canon if Palpatine himself has mentioned Plagueis.
Plagueis himself is canon. Yep. Whether or not the actual novel by James Luceno is canon, we don't know.
Okay.
I agree with you about Palpatine. I'd say he maybe be in my top three or four favorite characters. Han maybe my favorite, and Moff Gerard, one of my favorites because I go for weird Imperial officers. But what I enjoy about Palpatine is he is a really complex character.
He's playing chess the whole time. This is a galaxy. This isn't just one government on one world. This is a galaxy that he has controlled and made. This plan was going on for the Sith for a very long time, and the Sith were trying to take over the Jedi for a very long time, and this was the guy that did it.
Yeah. Hold on. I know he's quite old, and he doesn't really seem to age, and he got kind of like morphed up when he got...
Yeah.
But how old is he, and how long has his plan been in action for?
He's of normal age. Like, he was probably, whatever he was in 40, 50, whatever he was. The plan itself has been going on for thousands of years. And again, this can all change depending on what they decide is canon and not canon in the Old Republic. But if you're going by the legends of it all, Darth Bane had started the Rule of Two about 1,000 years before Episode 4. Mm-hmm. So
I think JT wants to get in the conversation.
JT and Mark Ellis are having a conversation back there. And
it must be very important what you guys are carrying on about loudly while we are talking.
Really good. Mark Ellis decides he wants to do Guilty Movie Pleasures and screw the rest of the shows. but if you go and you watch, that's what he did. Darth Bane started the Rule 2, but even Knights of the Republic was a Sith plan to do it, but they couldn't ever get on the same page. There's thousands of them that are trying to kill each other all the time. And
Ian McDiarmid does such a spectacular job. He's a great actor. Love him. I love him in Dirty Rotten Scoundrels he's the butler to Michael Caine. If you want to see the Emperor during that era,
just search for the
makeup.
Overbite.
Yeah,
that's how you discover him.
Such a good actor, did such a great job. So I'm totally on board with that. Let me ask you this question though: if you like the Emperor, you must like having force powers. What would be your favorite force power?
Force lightning.
Okay,
hands down. Yeah.
You look dubious, Maude.
I'm so intimidated.
I would love the force lightning. It's just like, really? Are you sure about that? Come on, at a bar. Yeah, bar fight? I mean, come on, that'd be fun.
My lightning's scrolling around my teeth and everything. Yeah. Okay.
It's a good trick.
Favorite quote?
So evil.
Yeah. Stay on target.
Stay on target.
Yeah, I always, that's one I use quite often.
Do you use it in traffic?
Or if there's like a plan going on, and if you're anything that you're doing in your lifetime, your ADD kicks in, you got to go stay on target,
kind of reminding yourself.
Telling myself, I have rebel fighters fighting inside my head at all times.
That I believe. Now I know your lovely wife is not a giant Star Wars fan. Are there Star Wars quotes you lob at her that she just doesn't get, gets and turns to you and just goes, knock it off?
It's pointless at this point. Like what I will do is I will say because on Friday. Fridays and Saturdays are like our nights to we'll watch movies and stuff too. I go, hey, how about Star Wars tonight? And the answer is always, what do you really want to watch? She just won't do it.
Well, but hey,
I recently went on a date with a guy. He loves Zelda. Zelda. Never seen Star Wars. # deal breaker.
Well, no, never seen is one thing,
right?
Because you can discover it with him, and then maybe become a fan
in your pajamas.
Yeah, right.
Playing Knights of the Old Republic.
That's right. However, if he watches it and doesn't see it, or doesn't like it, then you got a problem.
Okay,
right.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. There is hope for us all. A new hope or a new dawn. See where we're going with this.
Speaking of new hope, and I'm looking at Maude's amazing shirt. Have you seen the video, by the way, where they take out all the sound?
Yeah,
yes.
It's awesome.
The best.
And Chewie makes a noise when I stub my toe.
Best. so funny. It's so good.
Chewy?
Yeah.
It's a great series to take out the scores and put any movie scene in real life
someone
context.
Someone fops.
Yeah. Final question of the five most important questions of Star Wars.
Oh, we already know the answer, so who cares? No, would you turn to the dark side?
Yes.
I think the question more for him would be, would he ever turn to the light side? Yeah, would you ever go Jedi?
Probably, yeah.
Probably?
Yeah. Depends. Yeah, probably not.
All right, well, there you go. We've learned a lot about Christian Harloff and his evil, dark ways. Are you still intimidated by him?
No, just the fact that you want to force choke and you want to do lightning, so I'm just going to compliment you the entire show.
Right. Nice. But hey, you want Jedi mind trick power, so you could be changing our minds
but
right
it only works on a weak mind. See, the compliment's still coming.
I like that. Smart.
Good.
Do not kill her yet.
Stop us! Oh, let's just get it out. Sorry.
Oh, do I get him on my side this time?
I wouldn't be too happy about that, because I'll tell you what. Some of these things, like I know, like Sith lore and stuff.
Oh,
certain
here we
things.
Go.
I'm just telling you.
I'm hearing excuses.
Oh, no, it's no excuse. I'm just know okay. that I'm just so not going to be the best.
We didn't do Star Paws last week. The current score is 42-35. I will choose this card. Right there. Okay.
Ready.
I can help you.
Ellis,
now,
can we have a two-minute timer?
Your time.
2 minutes and ready.
Go.
Your character wondered, oh, I think we've done this one before.
All right, pick another one at random. I trust you.
Starting the clock over.
Okay. Thank you.
Who told Han, someday you're going to be wrong, and I just hope I'm there to see it?
Yeah. Princess Leia. Yeah.
Yes. What ship made an attack run on the Star Destroyer Avenger?
An attack run?
What ship made an attack run?
The on Millennium Falcon.
Yes. Mm-hmm. What was Han's response when Lando Calrissian wished him luck before the mission to Endor?
When Han's response...
What was Han's response when Lando Calrissian wished him luck before the mission to Endor?
I'm going to have to defer to you on this one. It's slipping my mind. There's a lot of quotes. Good luck. You're going to need it. Someone must have told him about my little maneuver at the Battle of Tanab. All that kind of stuff. I don't remember that one.
I think it's good luck. You're going to need it.
Okay. We'll go with that.
You too.
Oh,
he just says you do.
Oh, we missed one. All right.
Whose throne room was officially known as the main audience chamber?
Well, the Emperor's.
Jabba the Hutt's.
Oh. Oh, my God. Yeah. Okay.
What part?
Sorry, Jabba.
What part of C-3PO did Jabba's mischievous sidekick nearly completely tear off?
Well, his eyeballs.
Mm-hmm. His eye. That's it. And which film in the trilogy ends with, ow! As the last spoken word.
Empire Strikes Back.
Yes. All right, four out of six.
Four out of six. Not ooh, so a little bad. Subpar. 46-35.
I would have gotten the four that you got right.
Okay. That's fun. Sometimes you eat the worm
that was a
and the worm
tough.
Eats you. Yeah, it was
yeah.
a little
tough. Yeah, the Lando one was tough.
You know, there's like so many quotes sometimes floating around your head, but... You too is not one of them.
No.
All right, so now it's time for Renewed Hope. It's our weekly look at this week in Star Wars news, and there was kind of a lot of news this week. So, please, returning to the dais, addressing her people is Queen Amidala.
There was a lot of news this week, and I have sidestepped a lot of it because I'm sick of waving my arms around like Kermit the Frog trying to get people away from the spoilers because you guys wanted to absorb it in your own time, and that is fantastic. So, I'm going to kick things off with a... I'm going to go back to Queen Amidala, basically.
I want the voice back, yeah.
I love the fact that someone arced up and said that they weren't a fan of it and I should try something else. So I tried Emperor Palpatine and everyone was like, no, back to Queen Amidala! So she's back, guys. 480 fans have recreated scenes from The Empire Strikes Back. The full movie is up on YouTube. Do you guys remember the first time they did this with A New Hope?
Yes.
Kind of remember that, yeah.
They put out a call going, guys, record 15 seconds of... A New Hope, any way you want. It can be animated, you can reenact it,
right.
You can do it any way. And, they got all the submissions and they cut together the story, the whole full movie in everyone's submissions. They've done the same thing now for Empire Strikes Back. There were over 1,500 submissions. Mm-hmm. And it's a full uncut version and everything. I don't like saying uncut. 480 fans sent out these.
Hashtag dealbreaker.
Yeah. And they have they've said, I've got a couple of pictures if you if you can see some of the submissions that you've seen. Oh, JT is giving me a thumbs up. He's put those ones up so you can check it out. There was a cartoon in there and there was a very, very random C-3PO looking dude.
Yeah.
They've just said it's a testament to the talent, imagination and dedication of Star Wars fans. And I'm pretty proud that everyone's creative enough to want to do that.
Yeah. Would you do a scene if we given the chance? What scene would you do from Empire if you had like 15 seconds?
Well, you know what? Maybe the scene in Dagobah with when he goes into the cave.
Oh, okay. The
cave.
When he's. Oh, I don't like that part.
I love that part. I think that there's, okay. there's so much to be said there in that one scene.
Because it was more about fear than anger, right?
I would do the Yoda going through Luke's stuff. Like, that's
no!
What I would do. Yeah, that's it. And have little R2's arm come out. And then you do the Yoda cane hit.
Mm, oh, so good.
Oh, yes. Donk, donk, donk. Cute. Story number two. Kanan from Star Wars Rebels and A New Dawn gets his own comic book series. Did you hear about this?
Yeah, I love this. I think it's brilliant.
I think Kanan is one of the more interesting characters, which we will go into when we talk about A New Dawn. So the fact that he's getting his own comic series and this is Marvel doing it, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Now, the only person who's probably more excited than you and I is Freddie Prinze Jr.
Oh, of course, yeah.
The guy that actually voices it, and he has been tweeting nonstop about it. Here are just a couple of the things that he's been saying. You can have a read of those. Basically, it's just all about the last Padawan. I just think that everything is anew, the last, the rise of.
Right.
Yeah. But I'm excited for this series.
Yes.
Though I have some misgivings about A New Dawn and Rebels, which we'll go into. I love Kanan. On board for Kanan. Yeah. I think one of the best new characters introduced into the Star Wars universe.
Mm-hmm.
Let's dig into him.
The reason I love what they're doing here with Marvel, with him being the last Padawan, is that you go into what happens in the events of A New Dawn, and you learn that this is a guy who, at some point, turned against his religion. He didn't want to be a part of the Force anymore, and what led to those events? We know that initially he was just like any other Jedi and had to go out on the run.
Run and scare,
but what happened at that time? What happened to his master? What happened? Like, there's so much to be explored during that time because it was a nice chunk of change, chunk of time. So when you get to A New Dawn.
Obi-Wan during that time.
Exactly. And you probably have some, whether or not they explore too much of him, we don't know, because I think that they do mention Obi-Wan and Kanan with the way they kind of interacted in the beginning of A New Dawn, which I love.
Yeah.
So Kanan has become, I think what they've done here is they've put the feelers out for Kanan. He's already resonated with the audiences. People like him, so you're going to learn more. I still think there's a possibility, my original prediction, that Kanan will eventually be Max von Sydow in Episode 7. It's possible. Same age.
I mean, they've got the same chin.
Same age.
Well, yeah. You know, the character design, I'm looking at the cover of the book.
They got the same face shape.
Max von Sydow could easily slip into that. I still think
it's possible.
We can get into that, but yeah.
The good news also is that it was originally announced it was only going to be a limited edition. No, that's not true at all. They're going to give it a full run, and it's going to launch in April 2015. And as we were saying, it's going to follow the story about the Jedi cull and, you know, his troubles.
Another book on my pull list. Great.
In that time. Cool.
What the hell are you complaining about? You're going to love it.
I love it. That's why I'm saying. I have like 40 comics in my pull list. This is costing me an arm and a leg here. I should have never rediscovered comics at 37.
And story number three, and we are going into Rebels conversation. Star Wars Rebels debuts to a record-breaking viewer numbers, and James Earl Jones is to reprise the voice of Vader when it airs on the ABC. So you must know that when Star Wars The Spark of the Rebellion initially aired, I mean, the biggest age bracket were boys.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Not us, not women, not older men, but young boys. Whatever, we don't care. There were 6.5 million viewers when it premiered on the Disney XD channel. Now, this is in the US and 16 different countries. Now they're going to take it to the ABC, and Dave Filoni has said that they want to make it a little different when it premieres on the ABC. So they're going to put in another scene with Vader and the Inquisitor, and James Earl Jones is coming back. Did I say his name right?
Yeah.
I'm so tired.
Yeah.
Good.
His name is Darth Vader.
Yes. Vader, you say.
Yeah.
He's going to voice it, which I'm having nerdgasms over.
It's great.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's a little Easter egg for, it's not such an Easter egg. It's an open cracked egg making an omelet for our Star Wars fans. It's a nice little morsel to say, come watch it again, get our numbers up on a bigger network. And I think Marvel, Disney, Lucasfilm, whoever's in control of these people now, I don't know. They've done a great job of advertising. We're at Comic-Con this year. There was no Episode 7 news. It was Rebels, yeah. Rebels, Rebels. Yeah.
Well, because it's also the bigger focus that it shows that Rebels is not just, hey, this cool animation Star Wars, so this...
Clone Wars,
yeah, because they didn't. There was no bigger plan at the time. Yeah. As where there's clearly a bigger plan, and clearly Rebels fits into that plan.
Yeah.
The announcement of James Earl Jones, as exciting as it is, it's not super shocking to me because you would hope that he would show up. I hope that Palpatine, Ian McDermott yeah. actually voices Palpatine. Whether or not they get him, I don't know. But
Sam Witwer does it now, right?
Yeah, he's.
No,
and he was doing Maul.
Witwer didn't do Palpatine in Clone Wars. He did Palpatine for Force Unleashed.
Gotcha.
But he did. But
that's
he
right.
Did
it was
do,
Tim Curry who he, took right. over from the guy who was in Seinfeld who passed
right.
away.
Witwer did Maul. He
correct.
Did Darth Maul.
Correct.
But
correct.
So what you would do? What you would have to do is I think bring James Earl Jones back for a few episodes. You would hope.
Yeah. What else is he doing?
Enjoying probably a nice leisurely retirement yeah. and probably wants to get away from the Star Wars thing.
No, he'd be bored for sure. For those wanting to catch the episode when it's on ABC, it's going to happen Sunday, the 26th of October at 7 p.m. There you go. That's the news.
They got me. I'm going to set my DVR. Thank you, Queen Amidala, for your wonderful return. I will not watch my people suffer and not get their news the right way. Now we're going to change things up a little bit here and go into Forced On, which normally we do a little bit later, but we're going to have some time. Today, with our guest here, we're going to do a little bit of a Star Wars book club. This book came out this summer. This man was nice enough to obtain a Comic-Con copy for me that I was able to dive
mine
in.
Mine is too.
Yeah. Early on.
Well, HitFix had a party combined with Lucasfilm and they gave away a couple of those books.
You started reading that night.
Yeah, that morning. That morning at Comic-Con.
There were rumors. We were all waking up on day two of Comic-Con. Actually, it was officially day one, and we heard rumors. Well, Christian's in slippers and a robe reading Star Wars A New Dawn in his hotel room.
Yeah.
How did you even make it? Because this thing is like a sleeping tablet.
All right. So here we go. Let's dive right in.
Yeah, let's do it.
We're going to try to limit spoilers, but, you know, spoilers might happen. If you haven't read the book, go ahead, Kermit the Frog, spoiler hands, just in case to warn you. But let's dive into A New Dawn, written by John Jackson Miller, who has a lot of experience writing Star Wars books.
He does.
And is a very good writer. So if anything, I'm going to preface anything I say negative, I don't want it to reflect on him as an author because this guy's worked his ass off to get this book done and help us Star Wars fans learn more about a lot of these characters. So I like him and like what he did. I do have some problems with the book.
Yeah. It's about a mining colonization. Mining. Who really cares about mining ever? No, mining is not interesting.
Talking about Cinda.
You're so wrong, though. That's not what the book's about. That's totally not what the book's about.
You have the floor, sir.
But that's the setup. The book is not about that. The book is about the setup, and if you
would have money.
Hey, exhausted one. If you would have read into the actual book,
read it,
then you would have seen it was about Kanan and the development of his character and what he's done. You got so much
love that.
Look, I agree with you guys 100% that it takes a while. It takes about 8 or 9, 10 chapters before they really fly into what this is all about. And once you start getting Hera and Kanan and all these guys together and going against Count Vidian, because the Vidian stuff is Vidian is a great villain,
all right.
And Vidian he's like addicted to plastic surgery, basically.
Yes and no for me. Yes, overall, yes, I think Vidian is an interesting character. His backstory unfolded, and he's menacing. But I couldn't. It was because of the plastic surgery stuff.
Yeah,
I backed off it a little bit, and they had to go that direction because he couldn't be a Vader.
Right.
I didn't mind the fact. So Vidian, let's kind of break it down for those people who want to get to know this book and the characters in it. Vidian is your nemesis. He's the bad guy.
He's like a diplomat that we find out his backstory later on. That I'll try not to spoil why he went down, but he works for the government, and it goes into the politics of why he's trying to get to a higher stature, going up against other politicians inside the Empire.
A baron who's against him as well. They're both trying to get the Emperor's love.
I thought that stuff was fascinating.
It was good.
Yeah.
Maybe comparing it to Plagueis, which is amazing and a
completely different
thriller,
books, though, yeah.
But that's the problem. Sometimes you're looking at past things. Wasn't bad. I had no problem with the development of Vidian as a bad guy.
Vidian's very power hungry. Yeah. He's mostly cyborg. What I thought was pretty cool is that he has had his eyes redone,
right.
So he can record and monitor things. Right. He can constantly surveillance and scan everything. He was basically like the best manager's he's been done up.
Well, but I just like what they can use that stuff against him though too. They could erase his memory if they got a hold of his stuff.
But if you punched him or you blasted him, he was almost invincible.
He was pretty tough. He was brutal, too.
Yeah.
Like a murderer.
Yeah.
Like a
there was some stuff there. He kills one of the administrators of the place.
Throws him right into the vat.
Throws her in the acid and has a throwaway line.
That's a spoiler.
Yeah. Well, you don't know the character. Yeah. We warned. But, yeah, so I like Vidian. I like Kanan. Hera, I'm still waiting for, because in this book I thought she was a little bit of a ghost in the background towards the end. What do you? How did you enjoy her development?
I enjoyed her development because what I thought it was, she was ultimately the one that had to encourage Kanan, and she because what's Kanan? What I really like about this book because what it's turned into Rebels now, and we'll talk about Rebels in a second, but. And I think this is the thing about canon, what canon is now. Mm-hmm. You don't have to read these books to be, and you won't be lost, but if you do read these things, you're let in on something. Because for me, when I was watching Rebels, and I now know the backstories, because Kanan is essentially what Ezra is now,
yes.
You know, in this book. He is a guy that just, he's all by himself. He just doesn't, with the exception of his men, Obadiah. And I loved that stuff with Obadiah. What Hera served to Kanan, for me anyway, was that this was originally just a perception of beauty and another conquest, if you will.
Sure.
But he knows, because it's his Force abilities telling him that there's something different now, and this ultimately leads to the rebellion, and it's the start of the Beatles.
It's not quite Hamburg in 60, but, you know, it's or 62, 61. It's getting there. What I like about Kanan is he is... Same reason I like Iron Man, and I'm not a big superhero guy. He's got some problems.
Yeah.
He's got some alcoholism. I mean, Kanan's got that, too.
Cracks Sully in the mouth.
He's like a 2006 Harloff, too, when it comes to carousing and hanging around the bars and the stand-up clubs. We'll explain that reference in full one day to everybody, but it's funny. So I like the flawed nature of Kanan. Yeah. I'm excited to see that.
He's a guy who's running from his past. Something's happened. He doesn't want
to
face it. He doesn't want it to define him at all. He's completely chasing it, making sure he's got no friends, no alliances. He's got no real goal. As long as he's kind of in the shadows and, can get away with his day-to-day life.
He has to mature, and he's early to mid-20s in this book, because Rebels is 6 years later. But Hera's supposed to be...
She's 18, apparently.
Is she 18 in this book?
She seems like she's 30.
Yeah, she comes off a lot older in this. Well, sometimes, women and Twi'leks mature quicker. So I do... I'm on board with Kanan all the way.
Yeah, the only thing that helped me also, too, and I did this with Plagueis as well, and I recommended it to you guys, but I understood most part why she couldn't do this, but I listened to the audiobook while I read it as well, too, because this was before Rebels came out. So I was listening to it, and this was essentially, to me, was the first episode of Rebels that I got to watch, because the audiobooks are so good with the effects and the characters and everything. I was really in it as I was listening to it. They play the music in the background.
I liked
And I felt
the
blast
of sound effects.
But I get that it takes a while to read through, because you have to listen to this guy reading really slow. But as I'm doing that, it really felt like I was watching this movie as I was reading along. So that might have enhanced my experience with it, because I really saw each character. And by the time I was like towards the end of it, even before the guy said anything and the voice was coming, I was expecting the voice because I had already associated that voice with the character.
I think that you're telling everyone that this needed an extra level to be enjoyable.
No. I did that for Plagueis too, and Plagueis clearly does not.
And that's true. But for me, I took it. I had just reread all five of the Game of Thrones books out right now, and those are dense, thick history books at times.
Yes.
Not a problem. I had a problem getting through a lot of this. Like, we're talking 30 chapters into this book. I was still telling you, I fell asleep.
If I could be wired and I'd be going to bed and it's like, I can't watch this.
Yes. So for me, it's this character of Kanan is a guy.
My criticism, maybe the only thing is, if the book not had been shorter, but got to the points a little faster, because it kind of becomes, I don't want to say a heist movie, but you get these little, dare I say, Firefly band of people together in a little ship. It's not the ghost yet.
Right.
And they go do this thing. I'm trying not to spoil where they go do it. If you had gotten to that a little quicker, I would have. But instead, I got a lot of paperwork about Gorse and Cinda.
Yeah, it took a while to get there, and I agree. Once you get to that end battle, that's where it really picks up, and that's where we lead into where we are today as a series on Rebels. But look, the first 8 or 9 chapters, it's tough. It is. But when you get through it, I really like the way that that John Jackson really develops these characters.
I am glad I got to know who Hera was and who Kanan was. A couple of the other characters really irked me a lot.
Which one? Scully and the Sullustan one,
yes. which is a woman.
I know.
It's a knee numb.
I know, but she was actually kind of cool. I didn't mind her so much. For those that don't know, she was the brains about the whole thing, so she understood the surveillance.
She used to watch the videos and stuff all the time, right?
Yeah. She kind of came off as a paranoid little creature, though.
Like,
running around.
Girly was paranoid, and it was kind of like, I felt sorry for him because every time he said something, he'd just get a punch to the face. Well,
he was kind of like a Big Lebowski-esque Vietnam vet to
he
me
was.
Because he had survived the Clone Wars and he's just blowing stuff up left and right. I did like the character.
That scene with the bus when they initially go after, when they try to assassinate Vidian like two or three different times and he almost gets them a few different times, and it's a great back and forth, and I hope that they do throw back in Rebels to some of the events that happen.
They didn't even kiss.
Well, they're saving that for Rebels.
No,
she calls him babe. She calls him babe in Rebels.
They
though.
Were. That's why I'm waiting for some hanky panky.
You want? Do you
because
want the hanky panky?
You're gonna get it in the book. You're not gonna get it in a kids show.
You probably didn't think you were gonna see stormtroopers get shot and thrown off cliffs and genocide happen, and it's happened already in three episodes.
I ain't gonna get a little spanky spanky in the kids show.
Let me ask you. Let me throw it back to you though.
Just want a sheet tussle. I want a little bit too much.
You
moonshine.
Want that? You really do want that?
I don't want it too. So I know what you mean because it's a dangling carrot.
I'm not,
will they, won't they?
The Twi'lek?
Well, you know, that's fine. That's acceptable in the Star Wars universe.
Because he's obviously like,
I understand.
Hots for her. She's so hot. She's amazing. She challenges me. She's not giving anything back. Oh, you know,
you want Han and Leia stuff.
It's a massive chase.
You want a little spark.
You know what, though? When you just said that, there is only Han and Leia to compare it to.
Right.
Well, Star Wars, they don't.
In the expanded universe, they tried with Luke and Mara Jade and... That just was a loveless marriage in my mind.
So it's like
they're sleeping in separate beds.
Yeah,
Anakin and
meditating on the
again.
Force.
Yeah. I truly, deeply love you.
I hate sand.
Yeah,
it gets everywhere.
Everywhere.
But you want maybe eventually Kanan and Hera have a love child? What do you want?
Well, I mean, obviously when she finds out about Kanan's secret force abilities, and then she wants to jump his bones. And I was like, that's a bit cheap.
I don't think she wants to jump his bones right away. I think she would. For me, it feels like she knows that the Jedi are still out there. It gives her hope, if you will, to start this thing because she's the one.
She's an 18-year-old woman. She's wanting it.
Well, maybe
she's got needs.
Maybe.
She reminds me of every woman I met. She just wants my friendship and guidance, and I'm okay with that.
Right, maybe. Not the lightsaber. So were you? You know, it's funny because have you watched the Droids in Distress yet?
I have not had a chance to watch the
second
next
episode.
Yes.
No, it's on my computer.
Yeah. I just haven't had a chance to. I told you I don't have that verified.
All I'm going to say is this, because this is, I actually mentioned you today on Far, Far Away.
Oh, I'm sure it was great.
And what I said was that when I talked to Ken about Rebels, which I'm sure we'll get into in a second, but when you said, this is just not the way I envisioned the rebellion going.
It was not.
And I said, did you watch Droids in Distress?
And
you
said no.
And I said, then shut your mouth.
No, you said, I will kindly ask you to shut your mouth, sir. Exactly. Your quote to me on the phone. And then I went, and you went, I will ask you again to shut your mouth.
I'm wondering, when there's very few Sith in this book, why you get almost personally upset that people don't like
this? Yeah, why? Why is that?
I think it's a matter of, because like I told you, in the beginning of it, I understand, but I think you guys are nitpicky towards the end, though, and especially with Rebels, totally nitpicky. But with this, it's a matter of it's a setup. It's the first canon book that really gets you to get, like, when you go in.
It was safe.
It is safe. I don't disagree with you there. But what I will tell you though, what it does perfectly, if you chose to read the book, that going into Rebels, you will feel like you know the characters more.
That was the goal.
That's the goal.
But here's one of my things. Okay, on the cover, it's got a Star Destroyer. It's got some TIE fighters and some stormtroopers. I like that. No other real connection. At one point, Rey Sloane, I believe is her name, who's a pretty good sub-B-level character in terms of Imperials. Yeah. I like when they get the Imperial women and they throw them in because that's kind of something against the Emperor's plan. She's like, at one point, she's like, all right, we got to move the ship. The Emperor's calling. And I'm like, here we go.
Yeah.
Next chapter. Anyways, the mining colony said that. I'm like, give me the Emperor.
We don't need the Emperor.
I want the Emperor.
That's your problem. You want all the old stuff right away. You got to. Yeah. We have so much time to build. It's not one movie. It's not one book. You have so much time.
I want a morsel.
I love that we stayed on one planet and one thing. That's all we
I have no problem
Let's
with
talk
that.
About this planet, Gorse and Cinder, yeah. by the way. Gorse is the most uninteresting planet.
There's no light. That was the point. You needed to get out of there.
Maybe it's a new
But then
dawn.
It wanted you to feel almost empathy for this.
But you had to. Why wouldn't you? I did, because for me, it was here was this planet that was, mm-hmm. it just served the business for what it was during the Old Republic or mm-hmm. whatnot. And then the Empire comes in, and you feel that stamp of just, we can do whatever we want.
Yeah.
And we are going to do whatever. We're going to send now. Now we're sending all these despicable people in here to manage you, and you might get thrown in a pit of acid if you are in the way. That to me started to feel like the Empire that I knew.
I agreed, and that's why I give kudos to John Jackson Miller for writing. The story was there. Again, maybe some speeding up because I got it already. You're talking about the Empire's manage. They did a lot of managing in this book.
They did.
Yeah.
And that's what I just wanted, maybe five less chapters of what's your payload?
And a few more chapters at the asteroid belt with those bar brawls, because that kind of stuff was interesting.
Right.
When he's, you know, Kanan is working with Obadiah.
Right.
Is that
Obadiah.
Yeah. No, there's a K in there somewhere.
No, it's Obadiah.
No, you're right.
Really?
Yeah. No, Oki Day. It's Oki Day.
Are you sure?
Yeah, there's a K in that name.
Oki Day.
You're like me when I read, though. I just mumble over it.
But,
names that look too hard.
Yeah, me too.
But, you know, he's working behind the bar. The best relationship he has, the closest friend he's ever had, is this mentor that kind of really understands him and gets him and lets him get away with a lot. You know, we see that Kanan loves a bar brawl.
Yeah.
He's drunk a lot. He's trying to pick up women. He could have had sex in the bar at some stage. Anyway,
but
it's Jedi training.
It also says, a side note, that a lot of Jedis, including Obi-Wan in the prequels, their best relationships is with the bartenders and barkeeps. Mm-hmm. Just putting that out there. They got problems.
Yeah. Didn't you love that scene in the very beginning, though, with Obi-Wan where you saw Caleb?
Yes, okay. And that's, and maybe... It was
hoping,
a great scene.
You were hoping you were getting more.
And I was hoping I was getting more, and I didn't
get it. That's where the comics are going to get you.
I wanted more from his master. And I think that we'll get that too. His master was, a great character.
A female, and there's a story to her death and all that kind of
stuff.
Apparently
she was on the Jedi Council in episode one.
Yeah, well, there's some little things too. Even Hera Syndulla is her name. Syndulla is the last name of a Twi'lek character from the Clone Wars.
Right.
So they're doing some time there. Again, I'm not saying overall, is this a must read for Star Wars fans? Yes, it is. I think you have to, because it's the first of a new series.
And I do love
first
it.
Of canon.
Canon. Of a canon.
Yeah. Yes. And you do get to know the depths and background somewhat of these two characters and the relationship and how they are together.
Right.
These two are the two founding members of this new band of ragtags.
Yeah,
and that's
what
important.
I did. And again, going back to Rebels, to where
it's
I saw
a bit painful.
When I saw them together, and I was like, oh, wait, now that's the way they interact.
Yeah.
And it was interesting because Kanan, even though in this book, he's really all about himself for the most part. And then he finally goes that extra step. But you still see that part of him in Rebels. Like when they're dealing the weapons and the guns, he knows that he needs to do it for just to make money. And so they can survive a little bit. That thing comes back.
But that dialogue between those two in Rebels was a lot heartier and weightier because of what we knew from reading the books.
There's
and I think I commented on that
six
when they were talking. I'm like,
Has it been 6 years?
Years or so since the end of this book. To the start of Rebels.
One of the last comments I want to make about the book, though, is the title. This is a bit of a spoiler as well, but see how his lightsaber's on?
Yeah.
Well, that never happened, did it? He never even turned his lightsaber on.
I loved that.
It's on the book. He's got it on. He should have had it in his book.
I love that he didn't use it, and I love
the fact that
he
did.
Because there was that one scene where it looks like he's going to go with Vidian, and it's that Jedi training that not right now.
Yeah.
Not now, because then when they finally do it in Spark of the Rebellion, kid, I'm about to let in everybody on the secret. And I was like, all right, perfect.
Yeah. Which is a great scene, except for he just stands and have a 5-minute conversation where Stormtroopers miss. But
have you never seen the original trilogy?
Yes, I have.
Oh, you have? They hit everything, the Stormtroopers.
They killed rebels.
They're rebels, not a Jedi.
I would have liked...
You're nitpicking old coot.
I would have liked one of them, maybe Sabine or someone.
Can we
in
get
rebels?
A Werther's original for my friend Christian over here?
I would have liked them to just got a little bit of a nick on the arm and be like, not again.
Let's to close New Dawn as we move on here. New Dawn, look, you have to read it. I'm I am very excited for Tarkin. I'm very excited for some of the books they got.
I'm excited
out
for Heir to the Jedi,
which is
that's from Luke's perspective.
Literally from the first person told from Luke, and I think
that's not next though.
It's not next. No, that's next. Tarkin's next.
Yeah, and you know who wrote Tarkin?
James Luceno.
Yes.
That's why I'm on board.
Yes.
The guy that you would love to penetrate one day.
Well,
you love him.
With your piercing looks.
That's right.
All right, so let's get a little bit of Rebels before we go to Duel of Fates.
Let's do it.
Look, I've rewatched the pilot or the Spark of Rebellion a few times. I have not seen the other episodes, and I'm sure you impersonated my voice quite heartily on Far, Far Away. Ken says he doesn't like it, but I do like it.
We like it.
We do like it.
You're too nitpicky.
We saw it together.
One thing I will tell you, we went for dinner. The Wookiees look like crap.
None of yours rumors.
The Wookiees look terrible. The Wookiees look like a Lego piece.
It was terrible. We're on the same page. The Wookiees look terrible.
And I thought it was insulting that there was a scene where there's like that wafting wheat, and that looked so gorgeous and fluid, but they couldn't even do hair on a Wookiee properly.
Yeah, that
I was waiting for him to take off his arm to shake his hand.
It seemed a bit rushed.
For the sake of time, my biggest problem going just off the thing, and I know some of the characters coming. I know we got Bail Organa because Phil Lamar's doing his voice. I know we got maybe Obi-Wan popping in and out. So I get it. And maybe, you know, check within a year, I'll be like, yeah, I love it. Right now, I just like it. I'm excited it's there. There's new Star Wars programming on my TV every week. I just so don't like Ezra right now.
I think he's great.
One step ahead of the
I think for, yeah,
Aladdin
I,
Jedi.
Aladdin as a Jedi? Good. Sign me up. Because the thing, this is everything that Anakin should have been. And I think this is the creators and everyone of Star Wars universe telling us, we know we screwed up Anakin last time. We know, and this is everything this kid is going to turn into something special. And whether or not it's him, becoming a very powerful Jedi, something has to happen to a majority of these characters because they can't survive unless it's Kanan turning into Max von Sydow.
Yeah.
Most of them have to die. You would have to think.
Yeah. Hopefully on Alderaan, but, so that was my biggest thing. What would you say your biggest thing?
You were there when I was watching it. I mean, I liked that there was a good droid. I thought there was the strong female characters in there. You can see that Sabine and Ezra are going to have a little something-something because he thinks she's hot, because she is. Yeah. But she's also kick-ass with explosives. I thought, like I said, the comparisons were strong with Firefly. You know,
yeah,
the band of ragtags with the ship.
So in like a minute, can you give me your case here for why you're on board for Spark the Rebellion and beyond?
Because Spark the Rebellion, right as it started, and the Star Destroyer comes in, and you get that feel, and the music kicks in, the music cues are great, it was the blasters, the sounds, everything about it made me feel like, oh, wait a minute, we're back into the Star Wars that we knew when we first saw the original trilogy. Clone Wars I loved. It did not give me that nostalgia feel the same way that this Spark of the Rebellion did. And then, even a better episode is this one that was, well, I guess, will debut tonight, is the Droids in Distress. It has all the characters, it has a setup, and it gets back into that thing that you were saying, how did my rebellion start?
Okay, because it didn't start with a Cockney guy named Zeb, as in my head.
Oh, yeah, Zeb.
Oh, I'm angry for no reason.
Wait, just wait until you see it. You guys are going to change your tune. This is all centered around him, and he is a great character.
If I change my tune, I'll buy you a hot dog. All right.
We'll get ready for that. No, those hot dogs are fine. The cheeseburger's better.
We're going to move on here, though, return with Duel of the Fates, our weekly debate where we take two things in the Star Wars universe and kind of throw them at each other. Now, we are going a little bit book heavy this week because of Christian here to talk about A New Dawn. So I wanted to throw this one out. Mara Jade versus Grand Admiral Thrawn. Which extended universe Timothy Zahn character would you keep or hope moves on into some capacity, episode 7, 8, or 9, some form? So, Marty?
I have not had any experience with the extended.
That's right. That's right. You got to read the Zahn trilogy.
But Mara Jade, man, woo! Keep the Skywalker feel going.
Okay, I like that.
Thrawn. No, I like Mara Jade a lot. I think she's awesome, and I think she actually is probably the more realistic one that will show up, because I think that there's rumors that she's going to show up in Rebels.
Yeah.
But Thrawn is just one of those characters. The Death Trilogy of books afterwards, that was our sequels of films. Those were the next trilogy of movies, if you will, and he became the ultimate villain and is very cool, calculated. I'd like to see Thrawn come back.
I would. It's very, very close for me, but man, Thrawn was a character back then in the early 90s that was like, that was as powerful as the Empire to me. He was such a master strategist. He was part of this Chiss family alien thing. And he rose to the ranks of the Empire when the Emperor did not want aliens or females in position of power. And he was a very captivating character. Yeah. But Mara Jade's great. So
I think it was my winning argument about Mara Jade that really pushed everyone on the line here.
Mara Jade's awesome, by the way.
She's awesome. Really, she's a great character.
And
the Emperor's hand. She's got a great backstory.
I think that's where you're going to see her. I think when you see the Emperor, when he pops up in the series, you're going to see a young woman as well with him. And you're like, wait. And then
if that happens, I'll owe you two cheeseburgers.
All right, fine.
All right. So that's that for that segment, Duel of Fates. Go on to Facebook. Go to our Facebook page, the Jedi Alliance on the Schmoes Know Network, and render your vote. Also, you can find us on Twitter at Jedi Alliance SK, hashtag Jedi Alliance, and give us your vote, too.
Really quickly, have we ever – we've seen people go from the light side to the dark side. Have we seen anyone before go from the dark side to the light
Darth
side?
Yeah, Darth Vader.
Oh, yeah.
What? Technically, at the end, yeah.
I mean, that was like a dark, light, dead.
Well, I mean,
I want to see dark.
I just answer the questions that are given to me.
That's true.
We're
wrapping up the show, but before we do, Star Paws.
Oh, here we go.
Do it quick. Come on. Give me a card. Pew. You can help her, too. You're in on this,
too.
It is 46-35 is currently. Goodness. All right, here we go. We got 2 minutes on the board. Who did Luke warn? You're making a mess.
Making a mess. Oh, you're making a mess.
Mm-hmm.
Is it C-3PO or R2? You're making the Wookiee.
Yoda.
What? Of course.
Yoda's the answer.
I was just going to keep saying.
How many TIE fighters follow the Falcon away from the second Death Star's overloading reactor?
Three?
I thought it was two, but I might be wrong.
I'm going to say two so I can blame you if it's not.
Well, you can blame him. It was one.
Oh, there you go.
What did Han Solo claim he still had to put together for his Endor strike team?
He had to put together?
Team. Mm-hmm.
For his Endor strike team.
Yep.
Oh.
Did he need a team for his Endor strike team?
No.
What did he need to put together?
The strike team's ready.
He needed to put together the plan? Come on, this is where...
No, I'm not created this. I told you that.
I'm going to need a final answer.
Tell me what they needed to put together. Bait.
A command crew for the shuttle.
So team was kind of...
How many royal guards were present when Luke Skywalker entered the Emperor's throne room?
Two.
You got it. Who clarified the cantina policy on droids?
A bartender.
Yeah.
Well,
you're kind of not welcome here.
Which red pilot completed their torpedo run in the Death Star's trench but missed his target? Negative. It just bucked it on the surface.
Oh, that was the first guy, and he was the leader. He was the... No, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
I thought it was Red 2 again, but I'm probably...
It's not Wedge. It wasn't. Who was the leader? I just watched A New Hope not long ago. Did you
have a call sign or actual
name? Just call sign.
Call sign. I thought it was Red 2.
Say Red 2.
You sure?
No.
It was Red Leader.
That's what I was saying. It was a leader of them.
Red Leader.
I told you.
What was the final score there? What do you got? You got one,
negative.
Two, three. You got three.
Three.
46-38 is that.
Who's winning? You?
I am winning now, but we're gonna throw in some prequel questions. Yeah. We're gonna change things up, maybe put some stuff there. Well, that has been a very fun filled edition of the Jedi Alliance, right?
Yeah, it was good.
So don't forget to subscribe on iTunes
and watch us on the YouTube channel. Comment there, share it, send some love. Did you mention the Facebook page and the Twitter and the Instagram? We are now on.
Yeah, we are under Instagram under Jedi Alliance. There's also a Jedi Alliance fans page, but go to our official Instagram.
Jedi Alliance SK?
Jedi Alliance SK on Twitter. So, but before we go, of course, we like to do an in memory every week. And this week, we're going to do an in memory on Timothy Zahn's Heir to the Empire trilogy and its place in canon. He created the name Coruscant, included fan favorite characters Grand Admiral Thrawn, Mara Jade, and Talon Card, birthed the Solo twins into the Star Wars universe, helped create the whispers of an alien race primed to take over this far, far away galaxy, and he revealed that Lando taught Luke how to make hot chocolate. Timothy Zahn is responsible for the explosion of the Star Wars expanded universe as any other person. His series of books, now referred to casually as the Heir to the Empire trilogy, or the Thrawn trilogy, were at one point considered the official continuation of the Star Wars saga. Before canon was canon, these books that helped relaunch the Star Wars universe and put them back into the limelight. 1991's Heir to the Empire came at a time when Star Wars was, if you can believe it or not, not totally at the forefront of the geek culture as you remember. In fact, geek culture wasn't what you you remember. Oh, sure, Star Wars was still the global phenomenon that it always was and always will be, but in 1991, we Star Wars fans had our memories more than anything else. But Zahn's work, with 1991's Heir to the Empire, 92's Dark Force Rising, and 93's The Last Command, were as exciting and fulfilling as any Star Wars fan can hope Episode 7 will be. And that's the rub. With Disney's purchase of Lucasfilm and grand expansion of the official Star Wars storyline, the words canon jumped to the forefront, as much of the Star Wars expanded universe was, probably for better, cleared away or just, at best, not addressed. Zahn himself understands, recently saying in an AMA on Reddit that realistically it was something they had to do. The author went on to explain that his Star Wars novels, including ones that will go well beyond the Thrawn trilogy, could possibly survive the great canon purge, or at least parts of them. That may be so. Perhaps Mara Jade shows up in Rebels, Episode 7. Maybe Thrawn pops up in Rebels, or maybe the outbound flight of the Yuuzhan Vong invasion works her way into the story. But for now, we longtime Star Wars fans, the ones that once only dreamed about learning what happened before and after the original trilogy, have to face a sad but understandable fact. Timothy Zahn's work has lost its place in canon.
Aww.
Let's hope he gets it back.
Very nice. Well done.
In memory.
We will see you next week on the Jedi Alliance.
And many Bothans died to bring us this information.
From producers Christian Harloff, Mark Ellis, and the entire Schmoes No Network crew, we would like to thank you for listening to the Jedi Alliance on the Schmoes No Network. Special thanks to Kevin Undergaro and Maria Menounos, the author of Every Girl's Guide to Diet and Fitness, in stores now. To watch or listen to other Schmoes No Network episodes, get movie news, and join the conversation, be sure to visit SchmoesNo.com and find the Jedi Alliance on iTunes and subscribe, rate, and review. I'm the Pit Boss, and this has been a presentation of Schmoes No Network.